Today we are looking at the book of Habakkuk, and this being October the 22nd, 2023, we're going to turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. We're going to start at verse number 5 today. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse number 5, our lesson today is entitled, Rejoice in the Lord. And Brother Joe rejoiced in the Lord up to the day that he met the Lord. You know what? I want to have a good testimony like that, don't you? I want to have a good testimony like that. Last week's lesson, we looked at the questions, why? Now today our theme verse is from Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18. And Habakkuk said here, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And folks, we need to keep the Lord before our eyes. If we're going to rejoice in the Lord, there's only one way to do it. And that's by keeping our eyes on Him. Things are happening in our world today, and they're happening quickly. Things are happening we just don't understand. And there are a lot of people today still just questioning the Lord. They're questioning God. So as we begin the lesson today, I want to ask you this question. Are you questioning God, or are you fully trusting and rejoicing in God today? We need to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And last week we saw in our lesson entitled, Why? We saw how the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk had concerns. He had some concerns and he had questions as to why God did not do things certain ways. Do you try to tell God how to do things? You know, do you find yourself trying to do that? God, I don't like the way you did this, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little briefing here how you need to do it the next time. You know, we find ourselves doing that sometimes, do we not? I was walking Precious this morning, and it was cloudy, and it looked like it had been raining during the night. Everything was wet outside, and I thought, Lord, I thought it was supposed to be clear today. And Lord, I thought you said it was going to be clear. And then I got to thinking, I walked by the well where we get our water from. And I thought, but Lord, you know, it's all right. We needed that rain last night, okay? And if you can clear it up today so I can split and stack wood tomorrow, that would just be all right. That'd be all right. But I get to thinking, sometimes we want to make God seem like, you know, He's serving us instead of us serving Him. And we ought not be that way. We need to thank Him. We need to rejoice. The moral of the story we learned last week was that although we may not always understand the things that God does and the way that He's doing things or even why He's doing things a certain way, if we truly love Him, we can fully trust Him. I mean fully, we can trust Him. Now, in this week's lesson, we're going to learn some things. And we're going to see the second half of God's answer to Habakkuk's question, okay? We're going to see the second part of God's answer to Habakkuk. And God's going to explain to this man of God that He would indeed destroy the Chaldeans for their wickedness and for their sins and for their evil doings, their greed, their violence, their idolatry, all the things that they were doing wrong. But when God explains the situation to Habakkuk, it causes the man of God to rejoice in the Lord and to know that God is still in control of things. Folks, we got to remember God is in control. Amen. Okay, would you just say that with me this morning just so I can remember it too, okay? God is still in control. Amen. God is in control of things. And even though he, as well as the people of God, would go through some very difficult circumstances, some difficult situations. He sums it all up in this key verse that we use for our lesson today. And he said there in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 18, he said, "Yet, in spite of everything else, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation." What a God we serve today. So let me ask you this morning, folks. Have you made the move yet? Have you made the move? Have you made the move from questioning God to just simply trusting God? That seems like a big move for a lot of folks. It seems like a difficult move for a lot of folks. But if we love Him, we can fully trust Him. I want to encourage you that with today. I like what the psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. And he said this, he said, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. And boy, what a morning that's going to be when we see him face to face. We don't understand the things that's going on right now. We don't understand the situations around us. We don't understand even how we feel sometimes. But let me tell you something. Joy cometh in the morning. And what a day that's going to be when the Lord Jesus comes back again. Now, I want us to look at this thing today. And I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus today. Don't let the devil get you to where that you are just turning away from God and getting your eyes off of Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus today. It's time to stop complaining about everything, okay? All I hear today is everybody's complaining. We don't have the right president. We don't have the right this. We don't have this. The economy's bad. The gas is high. You know, everything's just going bad. But this is what Jesus said in this book would happen before he came back again. So folks, look up, for your redemption's drawing nigh. And Jesus is coming again. I got an email this morning. I showed this to Brother Lee Dillon this morning. I got an email this morning in my church email. Okay? It's entitled, "Spark Change. Every sermon needs a spark." So I figured, well, somebody's complaining. You know, I said something wrong again. My sermons don't have the spark they need to have, okay? All right. So I got to looking at it, and it's from a place called AI for Churches. And it says, "Hi, Ray." Like they know me, okay? All right. "Hi, Ray. Preparing sermons that engage, inspire, and transform lives is no easy task. From research to writing to extending the reach of God's message, your sermon takes dozens of hours to perfect. Sermon Spark can help make it all easier and give you back your most limited resource, time. It's always free, and you can register for Sermon Spark right here," and it gives you a little place to click. "Finding this helpful, click here to keep receiving these faith-forward AI emails filled with resources, best practices, and hot topics. You can get your help from AI." AI, you know what I call AI? Especially this. Artificial inspiration. When you look at the video they send with this, they give you this stuff, and AI, okay, can produce a sermon for you so that you don't even have to study. So I wrote them an email back. And I just told them to keep their AI where it came from, okay? and asked them to unsubscribe me. I added a few more words, but I just told them, you know what? This is what God called me to do. To study the Word of God. So that I could be a workman that's not ashamed. And you know what? I don't need some stupid computer telling me what God wants me to tell people. Let me tell you something. There used to be a little slogan that said, garbage in, garbage out. Okay, with computer programming. Anybody ever heard that? Garbage in, garbage out. I don't know where this garbage is coming from. And I don't need somebody programming some computer to tell me what I need to tell the people of God. Amen. So that I can have more time to sit back and do nothing. Okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. It takes time. Every lesson, and I'm not saying this braggabociously or anything like that, or to make it sound crazy, but I'm telling you, I spend time. I do spend time. Every message, I try to spend time with the Lord and in the Word of God, searching out and knowing the heart and the mind of God to give these things to you, to be a help to you. I want something to help me from God, and I want to pass it on to you. And I don't need to short-circuit anything from God. And I don't need to substitute anything else for inspiration from the Holy Spirit of God in order to give you something that will give you a spark in your life, okay? All right? If you want a spark, get some fire, amen, from the Word of God. And folks, that's what Habakkuk was trying to tell the folks. He said, listen, keep your eyes on the Lord God Jehovah. And in this lesson today, it's entitled, Rejoice in the Lord. But I want you to see some things that we need to rejoice in today, okay? I want you to see this. Last week we saw Habakkuk's first dilemma, and that was his question. Remember his first question last week? Is God indifferent to sin? Does God not notice what's going on in our world today? Is God unaware of my situation? Is God just too busy feeding the birds and it doesn't know anything about me? And you know, we saw the answer to that last week. No matter what happened, God was not indifferent and he was not unaware of what was going on. God was in control. And he was in control and he wanted God's people to understand that he had the situation covered. He was going to take care of it. No matter what, folks, God is still in control. But although we know this sometimes, it does not change our human nature to wonder. Sometimes we just got to feel like we're in control. And we don't need to do that with God. Now, I want us to look at the focus on this thing today. I want you to look here at beginning in Habakkuk chapter number 2. I want you to see Habakkuk's second dilemma. The question was, why would God use the more wicked Chaldeans to do what he was doing? Listen, I guess Israel could say the same thing this morning. Why is God using Hamas and Hezbollah to do all this to us? And you know what? It's to make them understand that God is still in control. While Hamas is and Hezbollah is trying to send off all these big rockets and things, okay, across over there, God also sent the rains and the floods into that area, into Gaza. And those tunnels, Pastor Malad was telling Pastor Belcher the other week, that God miraculously sent flooding rains into those areas in Gaza and in those areas where that the tunnels were, and he flooded those tunnels. And those tunnels were loaded with ammunition and weaponry and all kinds of stuff. And while everybody is up here looking at all the bombs going off, God's down underneath everything. He's saying, don't worry about it, boys. I got it covered. And you know what? They, like you and I, have to learn to trust God. This is not our battle. This is God's battle. And Habakkuk here, he asked the question. He said, listen, Lord, why are you going to use these folks? God informed Habakkuk that when the Chaldeans began to boast and to brag that it was their God that was in control of things, and it was their false God that was giving them power to do all this, God was going to step in and do things that only the true and living God could ever do. And man, we're seeing that happen in our world today, folks. We're seeing it happen. If you'll notice back at Habakkuk chapter 2, look at verse number 1 just a minute. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1. When God explained what he was doing to Habakkuk, Habakkuk declared unto God, he said this, he said, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to stand. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. Habakkuk said, you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do for you. I'm going to stand watch. I'm going to be a watchman on the wall. And I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust. And I'm going to obey. And I'm going to wait for your answer. You see, when all hell seems to break loose around us, and it just seems like our hearts, you know, it just seems like God is totally unaware of what's happening inside and around us. It's at those times that we've got to understand we gotta make a choice. We gotta determine in our heart what we're gonna do for the Lord. And we gotta determine that we're just gonna say, you know what, Lord? Come hell or high water, I'm gonna stand my watch. Amen. I'm gonna set me upon the tower, and I'm gonna watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm approved. Why? Because as God declared in Habakkuk, look at verse number 4. He said, because the just shall live by his faith. You know what, folks? We are to live by faith today. We want everything just doled out for us. We want a spark in our life, okay, from some artificial something that says, oh, you don't need God. We got a computer program that will help you with everything you need. Listen, I don't need a computer program, okay? About time I really needed it, it'd be going through updates and I'd have to wait another hour, okay? That's not what I need. I just need to stay in touch with God. Now, I want you to see, he's questioning God here. Why would you use the more wicked Chaldeans for all this? Look at God's answer. His answer was, live by faith. In other words, he's looking at Habakkuk and he says, Habakkuk, just trust me. Trust me. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. And look at this. He said, and make it plain. You know what? I love the way our pastor preaches. He just makes it plain. Amen. I'm sitting up there sometimes and I'm just saying, make it plain, preacher. Make it plain. Amen. Just lay the cookies out there where everybody can get them. Amen. And God says to Habakkuk, just write what I'm telling you. Write it down and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. He said, I don't want these people to fall and stagger over the darkness of things. I don't want them falling aside and moving away from trusting me. I want them that when they read this, they're going to run with patience the race that's been set before them. And look what this he said. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Listen, folks, we get so annoyed with having to wait, don't we? It's like the old fellow said, I want patience, but God, I want it now. Okay? That's not the way we're to live. There are times when you just got to drop your anchor in the Word of God and wait it out. Just let the Lord lead. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just, that's you, that's me. We've been saved. We've been justified. Justified, never sinned. We've been made righteous through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, so let me ask you this morning, where's your faith today? Is it in artificial inspiration? Or is it in holy divine inspiration? Are you looking to men or are you looking to God? It's like I told Nancy yesterday. I said, Nancy, you and I have got to do something. She said, what's that? And I said, we got to continue to look for the upper taker, not the undertaker. We need to be looking to Jesus today. We got to look to him. And listen, when he said this, God explained to Habakkuk why he could fully trust him. Do you ever wonder why you can fully trust the Lord? How can I really do this? Why should I do this? Well, look at verses 5 through 11. And God continued to answer Habakkuk here, and he said, I will destroy the Chaldeans. God would destroy them for several reasons. Number one, for their greed. For their greed. Look at verses 5 through 11. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine. He's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for booties or treasures unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. He's talking to the Chaldeans. Because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness to his house. Coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. That he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou that consulteth shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. These folks lived in a world of overindulgence. Boy, is that not what we're seeing in our world today? Just overindulge in everything. These commercials they show on TV about stuff, man, it's unbelievable. But look at verse number 5, where God said, yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine. And look at verse 15, where God said, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Listen, wine and drunkenness were the very trademarks of that society in Habakkuk's day. And what is the trademark of our society today? Wine and drunkenness. Live it up. Boy, today's the day. And it seemed to be their very focal point of all existence. They couldn't make it through the day without getting a little wine, a little liquor, just a little overindulgence. Sounds like modern America to me today. But these folks were also, they were caught up in pride and in arrogance. And we see in the remainder of verse number 5 where God said this. He said, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. God would not only destroy them because of their greed, but God would destroy them because of their violence. Their violence. Folks, everywhere you see today is violence. 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 Now, and let me say this today. We were just down at the gun range Friday night practicing. Just preparations. You know, take out some time and just relax a little bit. Okay? Shoot, you know, write the devil's name on a target and shoot at it and see how many times you can hit it, okay? All right? And you know what? There were folks down there everywhere doing the same thing we were doing. I mean, they were just shooting, practicing, saying they're going to protect their homes. They're going to protect the things that they have, okay? And I look at this stuff, and God told Habakkuk, he said, he's talking about the Chaldeans, he's a proud man, and he neither keepeth at home. Today, home doesn't mean much to anybody. They're not worried about it. They want what everybody else has got, okay? And if you've got it and they want it, they're going to try to take it from you, okay? That's our world today. He enlarges his desire as hell. Hell is always enlarging itself. Death is never satisfied. Okay? Death is never satisfied. Everywhere we look in the world, we see on the television or hear in the news, it's all about violence and about how the modern day homes lack love and commitment to them anymore. And you know what? The modern day homes, the families are being destroyed. They're being destroyed. It's a sad predicament that these people were going through. And even today, it's a sad predicament because we've gotten ourselves in such of a situation that pride and arrogance and violence have filled our lands everywhere we go. The children, the parents say, hey, let's give them a video game to play. And what's the kids doing? What are the kids doing? They're sitting in their room shooting everybody, okay? They're killing everybody. Monsters and evil demons and all this other stuff. They're getting their minds so focused on all these things, they don't have any time together as a loving, committed family anymore. And God said, I'm going to destroy them because of their violence. But look at this in verses 18 through 20. God said, I'm going to destroy them because of their idolatry. We've got a lot of idol worshiping going on in our world today. And men make idols out of everything. Everything. Anything and everything. Look what he said. What profiteth, verse 18, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! And to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver. And look at this. And there is no breath in it at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Listen, the Chaldeans not only fashioned themselves great and goodly cities, and they did all these things, but they also fashioned themselves false gods and idols. Can you imagine going in here and carving on a rock and then praying to that rock and saying, okay, now rock, you supply all my needs. Oh, wait a minute. Let me paint you gold to make you really look good, okay? Let me put eyes on you so you can see the things around you. Let me put ears on you so you can hear everything. Let me put some hands out there so you can handle my situations. There's no rock in the world that can do that. No piece of wood carved that can do that. And yet God is in his holy temple, and folks disregard God. Listen, though these man-made images may have looked good and been very ornamental and shiny and eye-catching, they were inanimate. They were lifeless. They had no breath in them. There was no ability in them to hear or answer prayer. And these folks turned themselves over to those idols. Listen, a man today will sell his soul for a big lump of green paper. And you know what? When you're dead, what are you going to do with that green paper? What are you going to do with it? I've told you this many times. My grandmother used to always tell me, son, you came in this world naked as a jaybird. And without Jesus, you're going to leave it the same way. And folks, what they need today is a living Savior. They need the Lord. But how are they going to know about it unless you and I tell them? Look at verse 20. In sharp contrast, we see Habakkuk says here in verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. In other words, he's saying the Lord God Jehovah is alive and well today. We need to put our faith and trust in him. And now beginning in chapter number 3, we see Habakkuk's prayer. I want you to see his prayer here. I'm going to try to get through this. I may or may not, which is nothing unusual, okay? So we're just going to enjoy it while we got it, amen? But look at Habakkuk's prayer today. Habakkuk came to the realization, like you and I need to do today. Habakkuk came to the realization that these Chaldeans would indeed defeat Judah, and that in turn, okay, others would come and defeat the Chaldeans. But Habakkuk could now see something that he had not seen before. He saw a series of wars with great death and destruction in the future. And he knew that these wars would lead to things like famine. They would lead to heartaches and hardships and deaths. Therefore, he began to pray to God here in chapter number 3. And beginning here in verse number 1, we see Habakkuk's prayer for mercy. He prays for mercy. Look at it. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk was filled with a sense of reverence and awe as he prayed for revival among his people. In other words, he said, God, I know that you could do this. I know that you could revive your people. God, I know that you could send a revival. Listen, what are we looking for in our world today? Are we looking for a revival or are we looking for ruin? One or the other is going to come. What are we honestly asking God for? I would like to see revival. And you know what? And let me say this. You can't revive something that's dead. Okay? You can revive something that's unconscious. Okay? Or knocked out of the saddle, so to speak. And here, Habakkuk is praying for his people to be revived. And if his people would be revived, then the people around them would see the reality of what it means to live for God. And folks, that's where we need to be today. We need to be praying that God would revive our hearts, stir us once again to desire to serve the Lord, to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord. How many Christians I see today? And I'll ask them, what are you doing for God now? Well, you know, they get mad at the preacher and they move somewhere else and they go somewhere else and they say, well, I'm just going somewhere else. It's more spiritual. Okay, well, what are you doing for God? Well, nothing yet. I'm still waiting on the Lord. There is just sometimes you just need to obey the Lord, okay? Listen to me today. I wish that today Christians would pray for the mercy of God to be upon our nation. Amen. To forgive us for not trusting and obeying the Lord as we ought to. I think we need to pray and ask God to touch sinful hearts in the lives of those who proclaim to be Christians. You know, when I wrote this email to this guy, I told him, I said, if you're a truly born-again man of God that's been called of God to preach, you don't need this. Amen. What you need is Him. Amen. You need the Spirit of God in your heart and your life. You don't need some artificial inspiration, okay? You don't need something from the world to give unto God. You need the Lord. And notice, too, here that Habakkuk not only prayed for God to send this revival of mercy, but he prayed and he asked God to be able to see it in his own lifetime. When do we need God's mercy? When do we need revival in our lives? We need it now. Listen, I'm not praying for God to send revival in my grandchildren's lives. I'm asking for God to send revival in my life that my grandchildren might see something real in my life. Listen, wouldn't it be great if today we could truly see a truly God-sent revival in our land? I'm not talking about this stuff where Benny Hinn comes in and blows on people and people all fall back on the ground for $30 a head, okay? So that he can be prosperous, okay? And you can look like a fool laying on the ground, okay? That's not revival, folks. That's not revival. The question is, listen, if God were willing to send us revival, would we really want it? If God said to us today, I'll send revival, but this is what I require of you. Would you say on, Lord? Or would you say, well, not me, Lord. That's just asking too much for me to live a holy life. I can't give up my soap operas at night. You know, I can't give up my artificial intelligence, Lord. I can't give this up to have time alone with you. Folks, we need to pray and ask God for mercy. But then in verses 3 through 15, Habakkuk asked the Lord, and he offered a prayer of praise. He offered a prayer of praise. Habakkuk's prayer for mercy soon became a prayer of praise unto God. He praised the God of mercy. He praised the God of grace. And he praised the God of power. And we see that here in verses 3 through 15. But folks, listen. Until we seek God's mercy and we ask Him for forgiveness, we'll never be able to praise Him as we ought to praise Him. When I get to thinking about what God has done for my life and how He reached further down than I could ever reach up, until I consider what God has done for me, I can offer Him no praise. And folks, if we're going to offer a prayer of praise unto God, we got to thank Him for His mercy. Now here in verses 3 through 15, He offers the prayer of praise. And if you'll come back next Sunday, we'll pick it up right there, okay? I'll get you the rest of this. Folks, there is a reason to rejoice today. Amen. And in the midst of all that we're going through, we can rejoice. And let's take time to do that today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just want to say thank you, dear God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, for what should have been a judgment seat in my life, God, you showed unto me mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for that today. And Lord, were it not for the grace of God, boy, I'd be in a mess today. But Lord, I need revival in my life. And Lord, the only way that I can have revival is to ask you for forgiveness of sin. And ask you, Lord, to cleanse my heart, to make my heart pure in your word and in your eyes. Lord, help me, God, today to seek your will instead of my own. Help me, Lord, to fully trust you enough to be in control of things. And Lord, the only way I can do that is to fully love you. Not just say it with words, but to mean it from my heart. Help me, dear God, to prove to you today that I love you by fully trusting you in all that I do. Bless our pastor now, God, as he stands today to preach. Fill him, God, with your power, not some artificial inspiration, but God, with the power of God from on high. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. Stir our hearts, Lord. Bring revival to the children of God, that the world might see that you are real and that you're living in our hearts today. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We rejoice to be your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school, okay?